Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Warren Wiersbe says, "The remedy for discouragement is the Word of God. When you feed your heart and mind with its truth, you regain your perspective and find renewed strength." We're talking about strength today. We'll find the strength we need from God's Word and focus on just how a few of the many passages remind us of our hope and help today as we dig into God's Word. And we are excited to bring back a good friend of Faith Radio and has been on with us on several occasions. We'll introduce him in just a moment. But before we talk about the strength you need, we want to remind you that we need your support and your partnership. Our fall fundraiser here at Faith Radio is beginning in just 3 weeks. And Faith Radio is a fully listener-supported ministry, and it's only through the generosity of listeners like you that we can bring you these programs day by day. And by the way, this program is called Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. Paul Perreault sitting in for Ted Rossing again today. And we're honored to have you with us. And we'd just love to know that you can partner with us financially and prayerfully as well during our fall fundraiser. Your support is instrumental in helping Faith Radio continue to grow and change lives through relevant Bible preaching and family-focused teaching. You can find out more on our website, myfaithradio.com, and things get underway September 13th. Looking forward to a great few days here in just a couple of weeks. All right, well, we're going to talk about the strength you need, the 12 great strength passages of the Bible with Pastor Robert J. Morgan, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But it's kind of a day of encouragement today, even from John Stone Street. You know, John Stone Street with a Point brings us current updates on news and the Christian worldview, and sometimes the stories are not always, you know, pleasant to listen to because it reminds us that there is sin in the world. But today, we're going to focus on encouragement. Let's listen to this.
Need the true, noble, and lovely. For the Colson Center for Christian Worldview, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. When I keep bumping into the same Bible verse, I sense maybe the Lord is trying to tell me something. Lately, that verse is Philippians 4:9. Brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Obviously, this is quite a challenge for those of us who are in the cultural commentary business. There's a lot of unright, unpure, and unlovely news items and trends that we must confront every day. In order to deal with these things, as I said recently in a talk at the Alliance Defending Freedoms Academy, we need to have a bigger perspective. We need to see what's happening in the context of the story with a capital S, the story of God's redemption in Christ, and not be blinded by the bad news and chaos of the cultural moment. To get a free downloadable transcript of this talk, The Christian Story and the Cultural Moment, go to breakpoint.org/free. I'm John Stone Street.
Joy of the Lord will be my strength. I will not falter, I will not faint. He is my shepherd.
You may or may not know that that comes right out of the Scripture, that phrase, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." We're going to find out more about that and a number of other Scriptures as we talk the strength you need today, the 12 great strength passages of the Bible with Robert J. Morgan. Rob Morgan is the pastor of the Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville, Tennessee. He's served there for more than 30 years, best-selling author, and has more than 20 books, more than 2 million in print. He's written for a number of publications, appeared on national TV and radio, including Connecting Faith, and we're honored to have him back with us. He and his wife, Katrina, have 3 daughters and 12 grandchildren, and we always enjoy our conversations. Today, we're talking about the strength you need. Robert, welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Oh, thank you, Neil. I'm so glad to be with you. You're an excellent journalist and host, and I always count it a real honor to be with you.
Appreciate that. And this is a book that you wrote because, well, I don't know if you've shared much about it in the past, but your wife has some disabilities, and so you, in addition to pastoring a church, you end up caring for her. With kind of adds to your load, doesn't it?
Well, yes. My wife has multiple sclerosis and is confined to a wheelchair, so we are caregivers for each other. And so the way that this book, The Strength You Need, came about really came from an experience we had. We were sitting on the front porch, and she asked for some extra strength pills. She said she just needed the extra strength. And we began thinking, well, where do we really find the extra strength we need in life? Because people right now are tired. Everywhere you look, people are stressed, they're worn out, they're frazzled, they're tired, they're staggering under the load, they're getting wobbly. And we determined that the real source of strength is not medication as much as it's meditation. And we went through the Bible and found 12 verses about personal strength, and we adopted them. I preached a series of sermons on it, and the stories that I've found about this and the meanings of these verses in the Bible are so enriching. And so the strength you need comes out of our own experiences, but I think that the lessons are applicable for anybody who feels like their strength is just ebbing away and they need fresh energy to face the day.
I know as you started looking into this, you just did, you know, a little bit of searching and came up with 232 occurrences of the word strength in the Scripture. I'm just curious, was there a way that you were able to narrow it down to 12?
It was subjective. Okay. We didn't have any basis for choosing those 12 except as we went through them. These were the verses that seemed to resonate the most with us. And, you know, the Bible does say a lot about strength. It talks about the power of God's word. It talks about the omnipotence or the almighty power of God. He can run the whole universe every single moment without diminishing the nuclear energy of his personal strength one bit. And so we would expect the Bible to have a lot to say about might and power and strength and energy and ability. God is able. And so all of these phrases are there, but there are too many of them to look up. So we just looked up this one word, strength, or strengthened, in the Bible. And then we went through them, and we found 12 that just really spoke to our hearts. And that's the way that we came up with them.
Well, we won't have time to get through all 12 in our time together, but we are going to highlight several. And so let's we play that the little chorus, The Joy of the Lord is your strength, out of Nehemiah 8:10. I'm interested, Rob, say more. Why is it not maybe the word of the Lord is our strength or the help of the Lord is our strength? Why joy?
Well, this is a very interesting passage. And in each one of these chapters, you know, I'm a Bible teacher, Neil, and I believe that it's not just a matter of selecting a verse, but really understanding in it in setting and in its context. And in this story, Nehemiah and the people of Jerusalem had rebuilt the walls, but they had not yet dedicated them. They had a little time between the completion of the building project and when they dedicated them. So they had a Bible conference in one of the new squares they had built as part of the construction project near the water gate leading out of the city down to the Gihon Spring. And the people came together, and Ezra read to them from the book of the law. And as they listened to it, they began to weep because they recognized they had neglected God and neglected his word for too long. But Nehemiah, Ezra, and the others said, "Do not weep. This is a day of joy. This is a day of rejoicing. The joy of the Lord is your strength." And when we rediscover the Bible and we go back and we find these verses, then sometimes we may feel sad that we've wasted some time. But the primary attitude we should have is joy. And then there's something about that joy within us that generates strength. You know, if you see two people walking down the street and one is encouraged and they have the joy of the Lord, they may even be walking on a cane, they may be elderly, but they've got energy to face the day. You find somebody else, they're walking down the other side of the street, they may be a specimen of health, but somehow they're discouraged and downcast and their face is down. and somehow they don't have a lot of energy. There is inside of us a little generator that generates energy that we need for every day, and stamped on the side of that generator are the words, the joy of the Lord. And the people of Nehemiah, as they found, that when they rediscovered the Bible and they went to the Lord, then they were filled with joy, and that joy revitalized them and gave them the strength they needed for every day.
And even if our strength is small, that doesn't mean that we can't experience renewal and refreshment, right?
Well, yes. The very first verse that I mentioned in this book, and the one that maybe means the most to me, is Deuteronomy 33:25. Your strength will equal your days, or as your days are, so shall your strength be. So I truly believe on the basis of that verse that God will never allow us to have a day in which the work that he has assigned or the burdens that he has allowed is greater than the strength that he will impart. So even if we don't have a whole lot of strength, our strength is in the Lord, and he will enable us to do the work and bear the load and have joy in our hearts. There is a spiritual connection to all of this. I call these verses that I found lines of Scripture, and they are high voltage lines. So when we tap into them, we're tapping our 40 watt lives into the omnipotent nuclear reaction of God's almighty power.
Now, Rob, I think most times when we've talked about songs and hymns, because I know that's near and dear to your heart as well. And as I was reading through, you quote a few wonderful old hymns, including that great old poem from, I think it's Civil War, I think, time, wasn't it, about God's grace. And thought we'll go into break with that, but maybe just say a word about that before we hear it.
Well, yes. Well, if you're referring to How Firm a Foundation, is that the one?
No, I was thinking about His Grace. Was it When We've Exhausted Our Store of Resources?
Oh, yes. When we've exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength is gone, ere the day is half done, He giveth more grace. He giveth and giveth and giveth again.
Yeah. Let's hear a little bit of that, and we're going to come back and talk more with Rob Morgan about the strength you need. We're going to get to a few more of those great strength passages of the Bible with Rob Morgan from the Donaldson Fellowship here on Connecting Faith. Stay tuned.
He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiply trials, his multiply peace. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure.
Familiar strains to most of us, I think, who have grown up anywhere near a church. Probably heard it over the years. A mighty fortress is our God. And it gives us an opportunity to talk about another strength verse with Rob Morgan. Rob is pastor of the Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville, and he's authored a number of books, more than 2 million in print circulation. The book we're talking about today is The Strength You Need, the 12 Great Strength Passages of the Bible. And let's go to Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength. Rob, tell us about that one, those two important words, refuge and strength.
Well, and it goes on to say, a very present help in trouble. I would encourage everyone listening to memorize Psalm 46, or at least Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. One day when my daughter was involved in a terrible automobile accident, and I was rushing to the hospital not knowing what the condition of any of them were, then this particular verse is what calmed me down. The Lord brought it to my mind en route while I was in the car. And I think that there are three different aspects to Psalm 46, verse 1. When it says God is our refuge, that is something on the outside of us. So let's say that an enemy is chasing us and we have a palace or a fortress in the distance and we run as hard as we can, we cross the drawbridge and the drawbridge is raised up over us, then we have that fortress around us on the outside of us, surrounding us, shielding us, and we are hidden within that fortress. But strength is something that is inside of us. So when it says God is our refuge and strength, it means that he is our protection on the outside, our strength on the inside, and then he is our help on the downside of life, because it goes on to say he is a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, our protection on the outside, our strength on the inside, our help on the downside of life. And as you said, this was the psalm that inspired Martin Luther when some of his friends were being killed during the Reformation in the early 1500s. He was very distraught and became depressed, but he came to Psalm 46 and found new strength from this particular chapter in the Bible, and he actually wrote both the words and the music to this song, which sometimes we call the Battle Hymn of the Reformation.
You know, speaking of hymns, you alluded to how firm a foundation, it seems like that's such an appropriate hymn for any time, but just to say a word about that just as another reminder of how hymns are so often built around these great strength passages.
They are, and in my book, Then Sings My Soul, on the stories of the great hymns of the Bible, I think everybody would enjoy rediscovering these hymns. I tell the story behind How Firm a Foundation, and every different verse is based on a verse of Scripture. And the last verse of How Firm a Foundation, people may not have sung this one as often, but it's based on the verse that I referred to earlier, Deuteronomy 33 and verse 25. And the words say, in every condition, in sickness, in health, in poverty's veil, or abounding in wealth, at home or abroad, on the land or the sea, as your days may demand, shall your strength ever be. And, Neil, I depend on that verse every day of my life. The Lord has a plan that encompasses every day of our lives. Psalm 139 says that every day of our lives in Christ are recorded in his book. And so if every day is recorded in his book, then we have the corresponding promise in Deuteronomy 33:25 that we will have the strength we need for what every day brings as long as we live.
Well, we're talking about strength. God has promised a strength equal to our days. If you're feeling depleted, we're going to tell you in just a moment about a renewable energy supply from Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. You know, we're into renewable energy, Rob, but this is not like just recycling. This is more than that. Talk about Isaiah 40.
Well, Isaiah 40 is one of the most majestic chapters in the Bible, and it's written to people that are discouraged, and it begins by saying, comfort ye, my people. And it goes on to describe the grandeur of the Lord. I mean, if you haven't read, or if our listeners haven't read Psalm 40 and or Isaiah 40 in a long time, it's a great time just to read it out loud. And the latter part of the verses say, do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning that the everlasting Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not grow tired or weary? And then it goes on to say, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. And the idea here, I don't know that Isaiah understood all of the science behind this, but we now know that rising up from the surface of the earth, there are thermal columns of hot air, and it helps regulate our weather. And eagles and hawks and other soaring birds know how to find these thermals, and they don't have to flap and sputter and work hard to try to fly. They just stretch their wings out over these columns of uprising hot air, and it lifts them higher and higher. It's like an elevator. And then when they get up to the floor they want, they just sort of exit and soar down without any effort. And to me, it's a wonderful picture in life of us finding those promises of God that meets our condition. We spread the wings of faith over them, and the updraft of the Holy Spirit just lifts us up, and we are renewed. Our strength is renewed like an eagle's. It's a very wonderful promise. And someone listening today, they're having some problem or some fear that's driving them crazy. I know all about that. I have panic attacks that I battle with. But if I can find a promise of God, and I can always do that if I go into the Bible, and I just stretch out the wings of faith over that promise, then the updrafts of the Holy Spirit renew our strength. And that's what Isaiah was talking about in chapter number 40. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles.
You know, something about the high places where there's strength renewed. There's a wonderful little verse in Habakkuk 3:19. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. We only got a minute and a half or so to talk about that one, but say a bit about that wonderful verse.
Yes, Habakkuk uses the opposite example. Instead of an eagle soaring, he talks about a deer or a mountain goat up on the heights that has sure footing. Habakkuk is a very interesting little book. There's three chapters. The first two, Habakkuk is dealing with just crippling problems having to do with the deterioration of his society. And he has a conversation with the Lord about it. And God gives him so much comfort and so many promises that the last of his three chapters is a song. And at the very end of the song, he says, Lord, you know that if everything goes wrong, you are still in control. If the fig tree doesn't bear any figs, if there's no cattle in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. And then he made this declaration and ends the book with this strength verse. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights.
Amen. All right. In just a moment, we're going to come back with Rob Morgan and talk more about his new book, The Strength You Need, the 12 great strength passages of the Bible. We're just highlighting a few, but we'll jump over to the New Testament. There's some wonderful words that can encourage us there as well. And I want to encourage you to stay tuned. By the way, we've got three copies of this book to give away. So give us a call and sign up for that. This is a wonderful teaching about God's Word, and you'll never read those verses the same again. Call us at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. And sign up for a copy of The Strength You Need. More with Rob Morgan just ahead.
Is it you will know?
You know, there's a wonderful verse in Ephesians that reminds us of the riches that we have in Christ. Paul says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. I want to talk a little bit about how we understand the strength that we have in Christ because of all that he has done for us. Talking about The Strength You Need, it's a new book from Rob Morgan. Rob is pastor of the Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville, Tennessee. He's been there for almost three decades, I think, and best-selling author. He's got 20-plus books, and he and his wife, Katrina, have three daughters and 12 grandchildren, and we always enjoy talking with him. And Rob, let's jump over to Ephesians for a bit and tell us a bit about understanding the riches we have in Christ.
Well, that's the subject of Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. You know, Ephesians has been called the Switzerland of the Bible, or the Mount Blanc of the Bible, which is that high peak in the Swiss Alps. It was called that by A.T. Pearson over 100 years ago. But it really is a pinnacle point in the Scripture. When Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, he didn't have to address any problem in the church, and so he was able just to speak richly about what it means to be in Christ, and that's the theme. And so he gives us a great inventory of our blessings in chapter 1, 2, and 3. The first half of Ephesians is filled with words like rich and wealth and inheritance. You can just go through and circle them, lavished. And then he comes to the very end of these three chapters, and he says, I pray that your eyes will be opened and that out of his glorious riches he will strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you, being filled with all of his knowledge, will be able to understand what is the height and breadth and length and depth, and to know the love of God which passes all understanding. And I want to suggest, Neil, that this is a wonderful prayer that we can adopt for ourselves. If anybody is feeling unusually weak or exhausted or tired, you know, we can remember 3:16, like John 3:16. This is Ephesians 3:16. And people can just put their name in that verse and say, Lord, I pray that out of your glorious riches you will strengthen me with all power through your Spirit in my inner being. And that's a very powerful prayer for us to learn to pray.
Well, I love how in the book, The Strength You Need, you talk about, you know, understanding the depth of God's love. And even as we heard just a little clip of that song, I mean, it's height, breadth, length. It's, I think you describe it as the cube, right?
It is a cube. And in the Bible, a cube is a perfect shape, so that the Holy of Holies and the tabernacle and the Holy of Holies in the temple was a perfect cube. A cube is the same in all directions, and it represents the perfection of God. And so here the love of Christ is described as a cube, and that means that it's long enough to endure forever, it's deep enough to reach us wherever we are, it's wide enough to cover all of our sins and to encompass us all, and it's broad enough to take care of us forever. It's just a tremendous way of describing the love of God. And the thing that we know is that we are loved of him. God loves you. And even if you're tired or exhausted, or you feel like you've messed up or you've lost a lot of spiritual energy, God loves you. And his love is wide enough to reach out to you. It's long enough to love you forever. It's high enough to carry you up to the heights of strength, and it's deep enough to resolve all of the problems and distresses in your life. And it's this love that can strengthen us with all power in our inner being through his Holy Spirit.
You know, we celebrate that God loves us, but God also calls us to love him back. And we want to talk about that part of it, the greatest commandment. How do we love the Lord our God with all our strength? Coming up, more with Rob Morgan.
With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. With all your heart.
So, Rob, what does it mean to love the Lord our God with all our strength? I mean, heart, mind, and soul, it sort of fits. So what does that mean to include strength in that list?
Well, you know, we often see people do things with all their strength when we're watching the Olympics or we're watching some athletic pursuit and someone gives it all they've got and they establish a personal record. But not many of us really do anything with all of our strength. But the one thing we should do is to love the Lord with all of our strength. And so this is the one verse out of the 12 in which we are exerting the strength. The other 11 is a description of how God is giving us strength. But what do we do with that strength? Well, we're to love him back with all of our strength. And, you know, Neil, I looked up all of the verses about love in the Bible, and most of them are how God loves us or how we're to love one another. But there's a few verses that talk about how we are to love God. And most of those promises about how we are to love God are actually descriptions of what happens to us when we do love God. For example, Exodus 20 says, he shows his love to us for 1,000 generations to those who love him. And Romans 8:28 says, we can do all things through Christ who loves us. And James says that he gives the crown of life to those who love him. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 24 says, he gives grace to those who love him. And even a child can do that. The most important thing in life is to love the Lord, just to love him. This is when they ask Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? He said, the greatest commandment is just that we love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so when we learn to do that, it opens our lives to blessings that we've never even imagined.
We've been talking about the strength you need, the 12 great strength passages of the Bible, and just highlighting a few. You close out the book with the number 12, which is one that maybe is a life verse for many, or we've certainly quoted it a lot. Tell us about Philippians 4:13. I can do all this through him who gives me strength.
Yes, this is a promise at the very end of Philippians. Paul is writing this from jail. I give the background in the book, The Strength You Need. The people of Philippi are very distressed about what's happened to him because he's in prison. They're worried about the fledgling Christian movement. They think maybe everything is lost. But Paul writes to them from jail, and it's a book about joy. And he says, you know, don't worry about all of this. God's in control. Be joyful. And he comes to the very end of the book, and he said, you know, you sent me some money, and I'm grateful for that, but I know what it is to be poor. I know what it is to be rich. I know what it is to be lifted up. I know what it is to be cast down, but I have learned to be joyful, to be satisfied, to be strong, to be content. Whatever my circumstances, I can do all this through him who infuses me with strength. So in the context, it isn't just a carte blanche verse that we can do everything, but it means that we can maintain strong attitudes and do whatever God calls us to do, not in our own power, but through the strength of him who loves us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
You know, I love always ways to kind of allow God's word to dwell in us richly, and you provide just a little example, sort of an exercise to actually say this phrase and to emphasize a different word each time. Just say a little more about that. Just another way to kind of let that truth dwell in us, go deep inside.
Yes, Pastor Ed Underwood of the Church of the Open Door in Southern California developed a very painful form of cancer. And he said this verse got him through that experience, and he would quote it multiple times, emphasizing a different word every time. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and so forth and so on through the entire verse. And he said by the end of the verse, every word of that had been pounded into his heart, and it gave him the strength he needed to face his challenge. And I thought that was a very spiritual and wise exercise. And really, we can do that with almost any great passage of Scripture. But for him, it made the difference sometimes in his very sanity and painful times to be able to do it with Philippians 4:13.
Well, it reminds us again how powerful God's word is when we meditate on it. And I know that's really at your heart as a pastor, and of course, as someone who's memorized Scripture as well. But is that your hope for this book, that people will just take these 12 samples of God's power and apply it to our lives?
Yes, and memorize them. I am an advocate for scripture memory. I have a book out called 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart, and here are another 12 in this book. I work every day on scripture memory because once you get the Bible into your brain, then it works on you from the inside out. The Holy Spirit can use it even in the middle of the night. It goes down into your conscious and subconscious and unconscious brains. And to memorize these verses about strength, if people right now are exhausted or tired or sad or depressed or worn out, then I believe that these verses can be lifesavers for you. And I want to encourage you to look at these 12 great strength passages of the Bible. They will give you, as the name of the book indicates, the strength you need.
Rob, you, unlike some of your other books, your wife Katrina has written in each of the chapters, and out of her own experience and difficulties, she's offered some wonderful encouragement. Just say more about, you know, including her in this process.
Yes. Well, my wife Katrina inspired this book with her comment about needing extra strength. So every chapter ends with a word from Katrina, and the book ends with a word from Katrina. And she wrote these segments ending every chapter to give her perspective on this from the wheelchair as she's disabled. And so I think that, well, Dr. David Jeremiah told me, he said, "Robert, I read every word of your book, and I really love Katrina's parts." Well, I waited for him to say something else, but that's all he said. So I think that people will also find a great encouragement from what my wife, Katrina, has written.
Mm-hmm. I know it will be. We do have some copies of the book to give away, and you can call 877-933-2484 to sign up for a drawing for that. And one of my favorite strength verses, Robin, we'll close with this. In fact, got a song that comes right out of the Psalm 73. God the Lord is the strength of my heart, and he's my portion forever. And I think that's the bottom line, isn't it? That the more we understand these words, the more we're reminded that God is the one who is very present in times of trouble.
Yes, a very present help in trouble. And he will give strength to you. And I hope that people will recommend this book, The Strength You Need, to others. And may the Lord strengthen everyone listening. Thank you, Neil, for letting me be with you on your program.
Rob Morgan joining us today, pastor of the Donaldson Fellowship and author of the new book, The Strength You Need, 12 Great Strength Passages of the Bible. It's from Thomas Nelson. Stephen Curtis Chapman helping us understand the paradox of the gospel, isn't it? How we gain by losing, we live by dying, we're strongest at our weakest. Maybe no one better exemplifies that than Johnny Erickson Tada, who for many years has been locked to a chair. But yet out of that, her joy has overflown and overflowed. And I thought it might be good just to share some thoughts from Johnny as I was reading the Strength That You Need from Rob Morgan, just reading the comments of his wife, who is now confined to a wheelchair as well. Just reminded me that there are many that struggle with daily challenges and really need that extra strength. And so we want to play just a little clip from Johnny Tada right now. As I had a chance to talk with you, just it was a couple of years ago, we talked a little bit about pain and suffering. Maybe we'll get to that in just a moment. Let's see if we can jump ahead. We'll do some takeaway conversations, as we like to do at each program. And Carissa, I'll just start with you. If there's something that sort of stood out to you in the conversation with Rob Morgan today.
Sure, absolutely. I just really felt it strong on my heart when Robert was talking that, you know, God is very generous and he wants to give us all these things. He gives us strength every single day. And when we just think about how much we try to do in our own strength, and it's just like he's ready to give it to us. And so it was just a great reminder to just meditate on the promises of God and receive what he has for us.
I loved his description and talking about Isaiah 40, about the updrafts of the Holy Spirit, those thermals. That just kind of was a good visual for me about how, you know, God gives us strength every day. Paul, anything hitting you?
I like the updrafts. Yeah. That was a great, great visual. Yeah. But for me, another thing was just how this show has been so heavily music-oriented, because there's so much that hymn writers and songwriters have put in scripture-wise that just point you back to those promises, those strength-finding promises that are in the Bible. So stick close to the songs as well as the Word.
Yeah, indeed. Let's listen to a little bit of Johnny Tada as we talk more about God's provision, even in the midst of our difficulties.
You've experienced your share of limitations and disability and suffering. Not long ago, on top of that, had a cancer diagnosis. Did your disability prepare you in any way for that, or was that just another kind of blow? And you said, you know, God, what are you doing?
Right. Well, you know, the Apostle Peter said, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." If I think quadriplegia is too much for me, or cancer, or dealing daily with chronic pain, all I have to read is Peter's words and know, "To this I've been called, because Christ suffered for me." And when you look at the Bible as a whole, especially in the New Testament, you get the picture that God shares his joy only on his terms. And those terms call for us to, in some measure, suffer as his beloved son suffered when he walked the earth. So Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "Put aside complaining, do everything without complaining." Because we know then that God's power will rest on us. So I'm grateful that God has given me the opportunity to get to know him better. I think that's what it's all about. I've come to know him in a sweeter, more intimate, more poignant, more up close and personal way in this wheelchair than if I ever would have on my feet.
You mentioned just dealing with chronic pain. I remember a friend of mine talking about having broken his back, and he said the pain you can sort of learn to deal with, but it's so exhausting that it saps your strength. I mean, have you found that there are just some days where you don't have any reserve?
I have no reserve. There are some days where pain is so distracting, it's so eroding to my joy and peace of mind. But at my desk at Johnny and Friends, I have on the wall above my desk a framed photograph of a man with a disability, a paraplegic in Africa. He lives in a little tiny hut with half of a roof and only two walls. And the villagers take great pity on him because he lives in intractable pain. He fell out of a tree and was dragged home. Never saw any doctor, nurse, never did he have medical attention. And there he sits in such excruciating pain. And I look at him, and he represents the world's 1 billion people with disabilities, 80% of whom live in developing nations like him. I look at that man in that photograph, and I think to myself, I have nothing to complain about. I mean, I have so many blessings here in the United States. And if you read the book of Jude in the New Testament, there's this interesting passage that begins around the 14th verse of that one chapter. And it says that, see, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his mighty ones to eradicate all the sinful acts that wicked men have perpetrated against him. These men are, and oh my goodness, what are these people? Are they pedophiles? Are they drug pushers? Are they mass killers? No, these men are grumblers and complainers. So we have nothing to complain about. And when I have a day of pain, I look to my friend in that photograph on the wall, and God helps me keep it in perspective.
Just a little sample of a conversation with Johnny Tata from a couple of years ago, and you can find that and other resources on our website to listen and reflect on again at myfaithradio.com, and click on the Connecting Faith show page, and you hear Johnny and friends, well, a couple hours from right now, in fact, each afternoon here on Faith Radio. We'll tell you about tomorrow's show coming up in just a minute.
Caring for people. It really does make a big difference. Hi, I'm Steve Douglas for Making Your Life Count. Dallas Anderson gives us an example.
There was a young man who was pretty much confined to a wheelchair. This is an unbeliever. He'd never been to church, had no interest in church. And several guys in the church said, you know what, we need to make it easier for him to be able to get out. So they went and they built a wheelchair accessible entry and exit to his home.
As they set the example, this young man began to ask questions.
One of his questions that he said to the three men, why in the world would you do this? One of the guys, I think led by the Spirit of God, says, we did it because we love you and because God loved us. And because of these three men, this young man has started a journey to faith in Christ.
Wow, what a powerful example. You want to hear more encouraging stories? Go to makingyourlifecount.com.
I hope that today has been an encouraging hour as well. Encouragement is part of what we're all about here every day on Faith Radio, to help connect faith to life, which means that we can apply, as Rob Morgan talked about, we can apply that high-voltage lines of God's power to our daily lives, and whatever weaknesses and challenges we might be facing, we can find the strength that we need. We can do all things through Christ, who gives us that strength. Well, tomorrow we're going to talk a little bit about a woman who doesn't quit. That seems kind of appropriate as it kind of relates to having strength. There's so many different areas in life where we're tempted to call it quits. Well, Proverbs 31 ministry speaker and best-selling author Nikki Kozarias shares practical advice and insight from her book, Five Habits of a Woman Who Doesn't Quit. You'll learn about the benefits of perseverance, no matter what struggles may come our way. It'll be a nice fit with today's conversation, and maybe just the word that you needed. So check that out. Joe Bender hosts the Friday installment of Connecting Faith, and you can hear it, of course, here every day. You can also listen to it on your phone app, if that's more convenient to you. You can download the Faith Radio app today and start enjoying the great programs you love. Listen to the live stream. You access the shows you missed. You can read the newest articles, discover new opportunities to connect. The Faith Radio Network phone app is available at the Apple App Store or Google Play, so check that out. And a reminder that our fall fundraiser coming up here in just a few weeks. And it's the time of year where we talk about the financial needs of this listener-supported ministry. And we're so grateful for many that are giving faithfully and consistently. You may be one of our ongoing monthly givers. Let me just say a very special word of thanks to you for your generosity. But if you're new to Faith Radio, and of course our signal continues to grow in outreach with the new translators in Minneapolis, St. Paul, in Madison, in Waterloo, and new radio outreach in Hartford at AM 1290. So wherever you might be listening, if you're new to Faith Radio, we'd love to have you join our support team, and we'd ask that you just consider that and join with us. You can find out more about us and make your gift online even today at myfaithradio.com. It's myfaithradio.com. All right, we'll post the interview with Rob Morgan here on our show page in just a bit, so you can listen to it again and pass it on to a friend, and hope that you'll be back with us tomorrow here on Connecting Faith on My Faith Radio.